So this morning we're going to continue our Rooted series. 2 weeks ago we had Pastor Eddie share about prayer, the tabernacle prayer, and how we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, and we move through that specific process, getting into the presence of God. Last week we had our missionary friend Blair from Belgium. He shared on the Christian devotional life. The presence of peace, how to have a peaceful soul. And it was a really great message. If you missed it, really want to encourage you to check out those last two talks in this message on our website, or you can find it on Spotify. They're really great talks, so you do not want to miss out on those. Today, we're going to talk about the power of testimony. Testimony. Anybody have a story to share? Who has a story in their life that they're like, yeah, I have a story that I can share about my life? Just two people? No one? Just in any regard, you have a story, man. There's a story. This one time I did something really crazy. We all have some kind of story about our life that we're able to share. I mean, for me, a story of God's faithfulness and healing. When I was younger, I grew up in Montana. Montana is mountains, as you can imagine. What we did in the summer, we didn't have a lot of money, but we floated down the river. That was what I did growing up. Virtually every single day during summer, we were playing on the river. And so as a kid, what do you do? What are you supposed to do when you get out into the sun? Yes, you're supposed to put sunblock on. How many of you sometimes don't put sunblock on? And for those of us that are like kind of whiter than a lot of people, what happens? We go from white to red. I got really red that day. It was, my back had started to blister because of the amount of sun that I had on me. And that day, my grandmother and grandfather, my mom's parents, more and more, they were visiting from Washington. And my grandparents are, they're the people that I've talked about that they have bananas and Bibles in the morning. That's how they meet with Jesus. They're the people of faith. They're the stories that, like, if you ever hear of, like, the grandma that knows how to pray the hounds of heaven to seek after you, to bring you back to Jesus, that's my grandmother and grandfather. They love Jesus. They have those stories of faith. Well, anyways, my back was just, like, in so much pain. I remember I was roughly 12, 13 years old, and I was laying on my bed trying to go to sleep. And I was just crying because it hurt so much. So my mom and my grandmother came in and prayed for me. And lo and behold, I fell asleep during their prayer. You know, not very spiritual, but, you know, I'm 12, 13. But when I wake up the next morning, my blisters were gone. I had no more sunburn on my back. It wasn't because of the aloe vera. It wasn't because I took a night's sleep. It was because of their prayers. And that's a story that I am able to hang on to, knowing that God is faithful in our prayers and that God heals. Even a young boy, because of his own mistake and not listening to his mom putting sunscreen on, I was healed. But we all have this power of a testimony. Testimony is often described as a written or spoken word of what God is doing. But we also have it in our judicial system. I'm going to be a witness to testify, or my testimony will help put a criminal away, right? So it's a story or account or version of what has happened in our life or what we witnessed or experienced. But for church, for us, what we get to realize is that when we recite what God has done in our life, it multiplies the power of what God has done. Let me say that again. When we recite what God has done, it multiplies the power of what God has done. When you get a promotion at work, you just don't hold it to yourself, right? But you share it because you want your joy to be shared with others, because they will be excited for you, right? When God does something in your life, it should not be something that we hang on to ourselves, but we should share it with other people so they can be excited with us, but also so that way we can spark the faith that they also have. Because maybe we don't always know everything that's going on in each other's lives, but maybe they're dealing with something, and they go, okay, God, if you can do it for them, maybe you just might do it for me as well. Right? Right? Yeah. It builds others' faith to believe that God is going to do great things. So today we're going to talk about sharing our testimonies, and this is a twofold process. We have our testimonies that we want to share about what God is doing, but we also have the old school, I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to tell people the evangelism of our testimony. So we have two folds today. So number one, in this aspect, testimonies reveal how God is working. We talked about this several weeks ago. The New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what are they? They are the stories, the testimony, the account of those disciples' experience with Jesus Christ. So those first four books of the New Testament are testimonies. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it's also testimony from Moses. He's the one that wrote those first five books. The book of Joshua is Joshua's testimony of what God did in and through him and with the people of Israel. So the Bible has a lot of testimony sharing about what God has done for his people to also spark in us. This is how God works. This is what God, if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. In Psalms 119, verse 111, it says this, I have inherited your testimony forever, for they are the joy of my heart. This word here, I have inherited your testimony, that is saying the testimony of the Bible, the works of the Bible, you and I have also inherited those stories. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, that is his word that is written to us, so that those stories in the Bible are now our stories as well. They are stories of our faith. My God can do this. My God can make it rain for 40 days. But my God also puts a rainbow in the sky to say that he will not destroy humanity by that way anymore. My God also is the one that sacrificed his son. He came and lived and died just for me and for you. That is my God. That is my story. Church, that is your story as well. That is your story as well. What he did in the Bible, you and I are a part of it. It's our story. What he did for them, he's going to do for us. In that verse, it also then says, for they are the joy of my heart. The stories and testimonies that we experience and that are in the Bible should bring us joy. When we share our stories about what God is doing, it inspires joy and excitement in the hearts of those that hear it. When we hear of what God can do in our lives, it should spark joy and excitement and anticipation of what he can do for us. Psalm 67, 1 through 2 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the people. The writer is saying, may God be gracious and bless us, making his face shine upon us. That is favor. Why should those things happen to us? Because so that your ways, God's ways, may be known on the earth. The writer of Psalms here is saying we should not be holding these things back and just for ourselves, but we should be passing them on. The Old Testament, a lot of times, When you read after King David and King Solomon and you get into the different kings, sometimes there was a king that was born that says, you know what, I love God and I'm going to bring the nation back to God. But then they quickly fell away, whether it was the bad king or they just simply forgot the stories. we pass on the stories. We tell the stories, our testimony of what God is doing, so the next generation can anticipate and expect to know this is what God's going to do in our lives. If we don't pass on the works of what God is doing, how is the next generation going to know what He can do if we don't share it with them? How will the next generation know how to add 1 + 1 if we don't tell them how to add 1 + 1 and what it equals? It's a natural process for us as adults to share it. Nope, we don't cross the street when a car is coming. Because if you cross the street when a car is coming, you're going to meet the front end of that car and it's not going to feel well. We also pass on, don't touch the stove because it's hot, right? Because we want our kids to know some of the dangers, and we also want to our kids to know the joy of having great teeth by brushing them and the healthy feeling of a great smile. So we should be passing on the stories that God, what God is doing inside of us, so that way they can know and expect God to do the same inside of them. Our God is a personal God. He blesses us for His purposes so others may know Him. So testimonies reveal how God works. Testimonies also create an expectation in our hearts for God to do work, to work His miracles in our life. If we share, it helps create, again, that expectation. So this morning, we're going to have our sister Anu come up, and she is going to share a testimony of what God has done in her, in hopes that it stirs an expectation inside of you of what God can do inside of you this morning.
Well, my life is filled with testimonies, so I've got lots of stories to share, but today I'd like to share with you something that has happened recently. Okay, so the week that I shared my testimony on the dieting, that same day, I had a lot of pain on my left side, on my back. And the week before, I was in excruciating pain, and I couldn't get out of bed. And I went to the GP, the normal doctor, the everyday doctor, and they said that they suspected that I may have either an infection or kidney stones, but they weren't sure. They couldn't put down to, until I get a scan done, nothing can be done. So it's 3 weeks away for a scan, and until that happens, they would just put me on pain medication and antibiotics. So that's what I took during that time. And I remember I was meant to share my testimony on the dieting, and Christina was asking me if I was going to come to church. And I remember being in bed, just, you know, in pain. And I said, I don't know if I can get out of bed, but I need to come to church. Can you please make sure to ask Pastor Brendan and all the elders to put oil over me and pray over this pain? Because it's from that message in James. And I made my way to church with a lot of pain. And I think one of the worst things during this time was the mental anguish, because I had a history of a childhood operation on my kidneys. And so I suspected that it could be a lot worse. In my mind was catastrophizing all sorts of outcomes. And I was in a lot of fear that this could end up in an operation, because the doctor did say to me that this could potentially be an outcome. And I remember coming to church that day with these thoughts in my mind, like, what if I end up with an operation? What if something bad happens to me? Then I met Brother David, and he shared with me his story, and everyone was prayerful over me. But I did walk up and I asked, when Pastor Brendan called everybody up for prayer, I did ask him to pray over me, and he did put oil over me and prayed over the kidney stones, and his specific prayer was that it would come out naturally, and that I would testify this story, and social media too. That's what he asked me to do. Today, I'm fine. They did a scan, and they said that the kidney stones have come out naturally. There's only one left, and there was only 2 millimeters. And the urologist said it looks like everything we feared didn't happen. And I just want to give praise to God, because it could have been many different outcomes. And all glory to Him. And yes, I will share that story. on social media.
Amen. But it's because of what God is doing, amen? Amen? Our Father is here and wants to touch your body. How many of you feel excited that maybe God can do something in me? Maybe not right now, but when I need it next, God can do something in me. Just a few of you? Come on, we should all be excited that God can do something inside of us. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a prayer request, put it, Lucas, can you put that QR code back up there for me? I would encourage all of you to take a picture of that QR code now. Have that, the website that it brings it up, have it as one of the tabs on your phone. Because when you are experiencing something in your life during the week and you need prayer, go to that tab, click on the prayer request, fill it out, because then I get an email. And that email can then be circulated to our prayer team. Because prayer shouldn't just happen on a Sunday. Right? It should happen on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Every day of the week. Because as some of you are saying, Sundays here make the entire week better. Come on. Right? Come on. It shouldn't just be about what we do on Sunday. Because sometimes you're like, man, I'm in pain today or I'm experiencing a problem, but then you forget about it on Sunday or you try to put it out of your mind. Some of you just, like, I need someone to pray with me right now. And so you do. You fill out that prayer request. You send a text message to your brother or to your sister here at the church. Can you pray for me? Send me a note. And if I see it within a well-received time, I will give you a call. I mean, yes. I'll tell a personal story. Yesterday, I checked in on my brother. I have two brothers. I'm the oldest, and then the next one, Jake, is a year apart. So yes, he and I share the same birthday, along with my wife. So there's three of us on the same day. You know, I thought once I became an adult, I'd have my own birthday, but apparently not. Whatever. Oh, well. Yay! It's nice having one birthday. You know, I have no excuse to forget. Anyways, my brother Jake was a youth pastor in South Dakota, and then we have a younger brother, Stephen, whose birthday was actually just a few days ago. So now we're 40, 39, 38. So anyways, my rabbit trail's going like this. So I messaged my brother yesterday because he's in a transition in his life. I said, hey, how are you doing? And he wrote me a very honest reply back and said, this is really how I'm doing. And so I didn't just go, okay, Jesus, touch him. I actually said, I'm going to eat dinner now, but can I call you when I'm done with dinner? He said, yes, I'm free. And I called my brother, and we were actually on the phone for an hour, which I love my brothers, but we're not tight like that. We don't talk all the time like some people do. And so we were on the phone for an hour just crying about what is going on in our lives and just asking the Lord to intervene in a way that only He can intervene. Because, church, we are a family. Yes, He and I are blood family, but we are also a family because we are part of the body of Christ. And so, again, when one of us hurts, we all hurt. So if you need someone to pray with you, don't hesitate to say, hey, can someone pray with me? Can someone call me or pray for me? Because God will show up in ways that you don't expect or ever think He could show up. But because we have the testimony of what our sister experienced, it should give you the faith to go, okay, if God can heal kidney stones, God can touch my body as well. God can intervene in situation. If God can provide finances for Pastor Brandon before he ever expected the need for finances, God can provide for me financially as well. Amen? Amen. So let's share our stories, because God is the one that is at work in our lives. And we should be giving him glory. When we let other people know, we are spreading the fame of God. So I just want to encourage you. Testimonies create an expectation in our hearts for God to work his miracles in our life. I mean, Jesus said it when he left the disciples. Guess what, guys? All these things that you've seen me do, Jesus turned water into wine. He healed people of various issues. He raised people from the dead, and he cast out demons. That kind of sums up, and he walked on water. Kind of sums up the miracles of God, Jesus, right? Jesus said, all these things that I've done that you've seen me do, you will be able to do and more. That wasn't just for the disciples, church. That is also for us today. That God's power is at work inside of us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God the Father, the Son, as well, working inside of us. We have the same power Jesus had to raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, if you read in Acts, Peter and John were walking along, and this guy, this beggar said, hey, do you guys have some money for us? And what did Peter and John say? Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. No laying on of hands, no special healing service, nothing, just walking their ordinary life. So imagine walking by Coop or Ica the next time, and someone asks you for money. And they're lame, and God overwhelms you and says what Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus, get up, rise up, and walk. You're healed. Imagine that. Imagine how transformed the city would be if we allowed God to work in and through us in that level. Imagine that. Testimonies number three, also through testimonies, God's power is released into the lives of those that hear it. In Revelations 19:10, it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's speaking faith. It's speaking out. This is what can happen. The testimony of Jesus to heal people, to raise people from the dead, to set people free from the oppressions of demons. Speaking out that we have those abilities. Again, if we stop talking about what God is doing, we also stopped expecting to see what God is doing. And when we stopped expecting God to do something, we then stopped seeing God do something. There's a college in the United States right now that some are saying is experiencing revival. Why? Because these students were hungry and wanted to experience God, do something great in their lives. From what I understand, it was a chapel service, so a service like this that they had, that they said, hey, if you want to stick around and pray, go for it. Stick around and pray. And the majority of the students stuck around and started praying and seeking God. And from that moment, 24 hours a day, 7 days, I think it's gone over a week now, they've been experiencing the presence of God in a continuous process. Church, we can have that same experience here in this city. Yeah, we may not have this building all the time, but we can experience the outpouring of God's presence in our life if we allow him to do that. And when we share what God is doing, it ignites a fire. It's like a spark igniting a fire in someone else. When we put our hope in him, he will not put us to shame. So I want to encourage you, one, share your testimony. What is God doing in your life? If you don't know what he's doing, say, God, show me. What are you doing in my life? I want to testify. I want to let people know what you are doing in my life, so they can be encouraged by it as well. So we have the ability to share with each other what God is doing in our life, to reflect who he is. And then the other aspect of our testimony is that we are to be a witness. We are called to be witnesses. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Meaning we are to testify about who God is. So I just want to give you a quick rundown of testifying or sharing your faith with someone else. Because oftentimes we hear, share your faith, but we just don't really know how to do that. So sharing your faith can happen all at once in one moment, or sharing your faith can be an extended process or timeline of what God is doing in you. But when we share our faith, one of the first things that we do is we tell them about God's plan, that he has a plan of peace and life for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's part of our process, that we let people know that God has a plan for them and he loves them, and that plan is for a relationship with him. Then we also share that there's a problem in this plan, that we are separated from God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 then says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So the problem that we have is the sin in our lives separates us from God. It keeps us away from him. But yet then we go on to the third step. There is a remedy. God created a solution. God rectified the consequences of our mistakes. It's called the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." So God had a story and a plan for us, a relationship, but our sin broke that relationship. So God said, "You know what? I'm going to fix it, because humanity cannot fix this broken relationship. Only I can. So I'm giving my one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to bridge that divide." So then our response to that is to receive Christ. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the basic process of what we do when we give and share our testimony. We share these things, that we let people know that my life, we have this relationship with God, but I had to realize that that relationship was broken because of my sin. But yet Jesus came to die for me. And because he died for me, I've received him into my life. Now, I shared that in what, maybe 120 seconds. I'll tell you, I spent a semester in Bible college called personal evangelism, learning how to do this. So you could spend an entire semester doing this, meaning that when we share our testimony, when we share about what God's doing in our life with our coworkers or family members, it means that it could happen in 120 seconds, or it could take an entire semester or years. God doesn't call us to save people. He calls us to witness, to testify about what he's doing inside of us. So what the Bible says, that we then are planting seeds. As I've shared before, I told my young people when I was a youth pastor, say it's conversational witnessing, evangelism. "Hey, Gabby, what did you do this weekend?" Generally, Gabby would reply to me, "Oh, I hung out with my grandkids, because I'm in Stockholm for several weeks. Hanging out with my grandkids, helping my kids out, you know, with the grandkids." Then what's her typical normal response? "What did you do, Brandon?" "Oh, I went to church, and, you know, I felt really loved and welcomed at church this Sunday. I was having a bad week, and just all the smiles and the hugs that I received just felt genuine and real." Done. Did I share with them that they had a broken relationship with God? Did I share with them that their sin is part of the issue, or that Jesus died on the cross for them, or that they need to receive Jesus? No. But did I plant a seed about what God is doing in my life, that church is something that is a part of who I am, and that it is a place that I receive something from? Yeah. It's called planting seeds. You don't just take an apple, take the seed out of it, put it in the ground, and expect it to change overnight. It takes time. It takes watering. It takes sunshine. So you plant seeds. Oh, man, this week, the pastor prayed for me. A few weeks ago, the pastor prayed for me. I know it may seem a little strange to you, but it's okay. It's okay to feel strange to you. But he prayed for me because I had these kidney stones going on. And man, over the course of the week, it went away. It was gone. And I believe God healed me because of the prayers that I received. Yes, it seems crazy to you, I know, but that's what I think God did to me. Because there's no medical way. I didn't take medicine. I didn't take a special drink. God touched my body. That's a new planting seeds in her coworkers or her family members. And there you go. More added on to the story. If we just share those snippets, those pieces of what God is doing, it sparks interest in people. Okay, all right, you told me a few weeks ago that God healed you, and my back is really hurting. What you said, prayer, could you do that for me? And then that's a news opportunity to maybe pray for a coworker, to believe for them that God will heal them and touch their body. They may not attribute it to God right away, but maybe they come back a second time and a third time. But then maybe after that they go, okay, I have a really serious thing going on in my life. It seems like God's working on your behalf. You believe in him, and I'm not quite sure, but would you mind praying for this for me? It's our opportunities to evangelize, to let people know the love of God without slamming the Bible in their face and saying, turn or burn. You're going to hell and you just don't know it yet. That's going to turn 99.99999% of people off, right? But if we love on people and share what God is doing in our life, slowly but surely, they'll come to realize, okay, there's something different about their life. Yeah, we may live essentially the same, but there's something different that they have in their life, and maybe I want to go check that out one day. Maybe then invite them to a community group before they actually come to a church service. Or maybe you invite them to when we do church in the park. They experience different things. Church, I just want to encourage you. Living a life of a witness of Jesus Christ is not an expectation of you need to give them the whole gospel in 5 minutes so they have the opportunity right then and there to pray the prayer of salvation. It's not what it is. But it's daily letting people in on your life. This is what God is doing inside of me. Do you think you can do that? Do you think you can take a step maybe tomorrow at work? You intentionally ask someone, hey, how was your weekend? So that way, hopefully they ask you how yours was, and you can share them a little bit about something that happened today. Maybe you don't say, oh, I learned from Pastor Brandon how I need to get you saved. Maybe don't say that. But you can say, man, I learned how to just, that God wants me to live my faith out. So I'm going to try to work on living my faith out for him. And then you can just leave it at that. Right? So can we all try that this week? That this week we will be intentional about trying to have a conversation with someone regarding our faith. Leaving a nugget. How many of you think you can give that a shot this week? All right, thank you. And then if you just real fast, that last slide, did the slides work today? Yeah, do you want to put the last one up? This is the basics of the prayer of salvation. If you want to take a prayer, if you want to take a picture of it, you can. This is the basic idea of when we pray the prayer of salvation, we say, all right, God, I'm admitting that I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. Help me to turn from my sins, to do a 180. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. And so today I want to receive you in my heart. Again, that's the four-step process. It's a basic prayer of salvation. If you have the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord, those are the four basic things. Admit that we made mistakes. Jesus is the one that rectified it. So I believe that he did, and I accept Jesus into my heart. Church, if we are able to do this one time a year, if we if we take a full year to help through this process, lead someone else to find Jesus, by the end of the next year, we're going to have 80 people in here. And then if everybody then takes it on themselves to do one person, we go from 80 to 160. And then in that third year, if everybody takes it upon themselves to do their best to introduce one person to Jesus, we go from 160 to 320. And then it goes to 640. And then it goes to 1280. Do you see how the multiplication kind of picks up speed pretty quickly? Did I do it right, math teacher? Yes. Math teachers. Yes, some of us have visions and dreams of standing in a stadium preaching the gospel and thousands of people. I'm not boo-hooing those. You know, I have those dreams as well. But as we follow and live our faith out, one person at a time, maybe your goal is just one person a year. Because you just, and then you get that person to join with you, and the one becomes two, and two, four. You know, just keeps growing and growing exponentially, year after year. So I just want to encourage you, church, with this today. Share your testimony with those around you. What is God doing in your life? Because it's going to spark expectation and hope and excitement for what God can do in their hearts. And it also sparks, okay, maybe God has something for me as well. Maybe I want what they have. Amen? Amen. Father, we come to you this morning. God, thank you that part of who we are, part of what you ask us, who you ask us to be, are people that share our faith with others. God, it does not have to be complicated. It does not have to be complex. It doesn't have to be in a specific situation, but it is a lifestyle, that our life is a living testimony of who you are and what you are doing inside of us. Part of that testimony is also the good and also the ugly. That, man, I've been feeling awful and terrible, and I know God is going to bring me out of this situation. So, Lord, I pray, amen, that you give us the inspiration, that you give us the courage, you give us the desire, you give us the little oomph that we need to begin to share about what you are doing inside of us with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with those that just don't know you. Because if we just share small nuggets, it's all right. It's not offensive. It doesn't turn people off, but it plants a seed that hopefully will grow into someone that comes to realize you do love them and you have great things in store for them. So Jesus, I pray for courage. I pray for boldness. I pray that we all have a vision for this next year to just share with people, so that way over the course of the next 365 days, one person comes to know Jesus because of what we shared. Just one. If each of us have just one, Lord, let it be so that your kingdom would grow here in Stockholm. We love you, Jesus. God, I ask these things in your name and for your glory. Everyone said, amen. Amen. It's a great day to be here at Stockholm Community Church. I hope that this is not fake, but that the sun is really shining. Because I know a lot of you want the sunshine. I want the sunshine, so I'm reluctantly letting go of my desire for snow. So I'm joining the majority of you for sun. But hey, have a great week. Those of you that are parents or teachers, it's the last week, and then we have a week off. A lot of teachers are saying hallelujah, hallelujah. So enjoy your week. Have a great week, because here at Stockholm Community Church, Sunday's here. Make Mondays better, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Have a great week, everyone.